Chapter 4 this morning, Ephesians chapter 4. I have three series going on. Aren't you glad it's not at the same time, same service, you know? My New Testament book is the book of Luke. Our Old Testament book is the book of Exodus that we're traveling through chapter by chapter, if you will, story by story. And then our topical series, we come back to it today, is a topical series that I've entitled Smashing Satan's Strongholds. Smashing Satan's Strongholds. And I've already preached on several strongholds. You can go back and get all those messages if you'd like to get them. And then once I get completed with this series, God helping us and reminding me to do this, we'll try to put all these messages in one group so you can get them all together. But I'm coming to another stronghold today, and I want you to ask the Lord right now, Lord, speak to my heart. And this particular stronghold is one that you may not need this morning, but if you live long enough, as I've already said, God tarries His coming, and He gives you life. More than likely, you're going to need this somewhere along the way. Today, we pick our reading up in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, I've already preached on that, and wrath and anger, I've already preached on that, and clamor and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Notice the phrase in verse 32, forgiving one another. And I preach to you today on the stronghold of unforgiveness. The stronghold of unforgiveness. Refusing to forgive. That can become a stronghold in our lives. Let's pray together. I share this thought. Father, we love you now. Pray for your will to be done, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. As one preacher said, someone has hurt you. You cannot shake the feelings of sorrow that blankets your heart. You get up every morning and tell yourself you need to keep going, but before the afternoon, you're lonely and you're struggling with thoughts of unforgiveness and depression. The days seem empty and the nights are very lonely for you. You tell yourself that nothing will ever be right again. And when you've been hurt, I wonder, how do you handle your emotions? Disbelief and shock may be your first response. You may even deny the problem exists in hopes that it will go away or get better someday. You begin to think to yourself, surely he didn't say that about me. Or you may respond in anger and frustration, seeking a way to lash out at the other person, thinking along the way, how dare you say that or do that to me? A desire to retaliate and to get even can be explosive. In fact, some people feast on this emotion until a root of bitterness begins to grow within them, and they're looking for payback and they won't stop until they get it. One preacher said that the landmine of unforgiveness is unlike other landmines. It explodes, but the devastation is not immediate. There's a click within your emotions. You feel hurt, you feel disappointed or angry, but you may deny it and try to push it back and push these feelings aside. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been wronged? Have you ever been hurt? Have you ever been mistreated? If your answer is yes to these questions, I submit to you that you must guard your heart against the stronghold of unforgiveness. If you're not careful, bitterness can set up and eat away at your heart like a cancer. I listened or read after one preacher, and he said this: bitterness is a cancer. It takes root so deeply that it can't be quickly extracted. Its teeth have sunk too deep. You can begin by nurturing a minor grudge, and if you feed it, the grudge grows into a powerful resentment. By then, it has a life of its own, and you can't help continuing to feed it, to nurture it. Ultimately, it's no longer something you own. It's something that owns you. And your entire life is defined and ordered around the principles of hatred. See, human beings are made in such a way that there's no excuses in the eyes of God. But human beings, when they have been hurt, and they've been hurt badly, it could have been a bad word said about them, it could have been an action taken against them, human beings begin to rationalize. They begin to pat their sin of unforgiveness on the head. After all, look what he did. After all, look what she did. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It's interesting that God calls bitterness here. Now, we're not preaching on bitterness, but you understand bitterness is the opposite of forgiveness. And if you have unforgiveness, no doubt bitterness can creep in. And the Word of God says here in Hebrews 12:15 that bitterness is like a malignant weed that grows among the beautiful flowers. One preacher said, ask any gardener about weeds, and the gardener will tell you that once weeds take hold, they can be very difficult to drive out. Weeds will move in and choke away the beautiful grass and flowers that were intended for that particular plot of land. May I say that this is exactly what resentment and unforgiveness do? It's like a malignant weed that grows among the beautiful flowers that God has created, and it begins to choke out God's beauty. One preacher said, and I quote, he said, quite often we eat away our hearts one bite at a time over someone who may be far away and totally unaware of our thoughts, totally forgetful of what happened, and certainly totally unaffected by anything we're thinking about or doing. Resentment, someone said, is swallowing poison and waiting for the other person to die. Unforgiveness can draw the drapes and block out the sunshine in our soul. The preacher said, and I quote, as long as you refuse to forgive those who hurt you, you remain bound to them through the anger and resentment you feel. You cannot go forward if you are only looking behind. Unforgiveness prevents you from worshiping God. You cannot worship God and have unforgiveness for another human being in your heart. It's impossible. A spirit of unforgiveness certainly can distort our view of His intimate and personal care of us and others. Friends, listen to me. Now, I'm about to give you an outline here, but understand that unforgiveness in our hearts can affect the way God desires to use us. As it's been said, darkness and light cannot inhabit the same place. Evil actions such as anger, jealousy, envy, resentment, and unforgiveness cannot remain in the place where God abides through the presence of His Holy Spirit. It's been said that Christian counselors and psychologists have long reported that pent-up feelings of hostility, anger, disappointment, and bitterness result in feelings of depression and anxiety, along with a host of physical problems. We can stand and watch the downward spiral in the life of a person who refuses to forgive the hurts that have been done to him. He becomes caustic, critical, and even begins to become very suspicious. My friends, unforgiveness is a stronghold that can absolutely wreck your life. If you want to live free, live for Christ and not for any of the world's demands, especially the demand to hold captive past thoughts of hurts. One preacher said, and we're coming to the end of the introduction here, but he said, and he said it so powerfully that I'm quoting directly, when dealing with forgiveness or the lack of it, a single truth remains consistent. The person who has an unforgiving spirit hurts far more than someone who has grasped the principle of forgiveness and applied it to his or her life. This preacher said, I've asked people what they do when they sense God's conviction in this area. In other words, God's convicting you, hey, you need to forgive. You need to forgive and forget, forgive and forget, forgive and forget. God puts His hand on that, and he says, that's not right. You need to let go of that. You need to forgive for my sake. He said he's asked people when they are convicted like that, it says, what do you do about it? And this particular preacher said, some of them says, I go to bed and try to sleep it off. He said, you can't sleep it off. You can't sleep off the effects of unforgiveness. Because once it gains a foothold, it quickly becomes a stronghold and then buries itself deep within the recesses of a person's life. Let me say this by means of introduction here, and then I'm going to give you the outline. This does not mean that people cannot hurt you. This does not mean that people cannot unjustly hurt you. This does not mean that somebody's not going to speak an ill word about you. And this does not mean that anybody can treat you any way they want to and they're going to get off scot-free. Don't get ahead of me, friends. But what this message is about is, do you really want God's blessing on your life? Do you really want God to use you no matter what others do to you? And I'm here to announce right off the bat that you cannot justify unforgiveness in the Word of God. It is unjustifiable. If I carry unforgiveness in my heart, God has not given me that right to do that. I have not that right to hold bitterness and unforgiveness toward another human being. And in a crowd this size, there is no doubt in my mind and heart that there is somebody who has been wronged, there is somebody who has been mistreated, there is somebody who has an ill word said about them, there is somebody that somebody somewhere in this world, they have treated you wrong. And I'm here to tell you that if you're not careful, unforgiveness can creep in and you can begin to make excuses and think God understands your attitude. And I'm telling you that no matter what somebody else does to you, if you choose to hold unforgiveness in your heart, you are no longer right with God. And God cannot use you the way He wants to. Let me give you three things today. And I want you to ask God to help you. There's no doubt that there's bleeding people here this morning. What I mean by that, somebody cut you. Somebody's wronged you. And what I mean by, if you don't need this morning, you will. You just live long enough, friends. Let God give you enough days on planet Earth. And somebody along the way is going to cut your heart wide open. Somebody along the way is going to mistreat you. Somebody along the way is going to say an ill word about you. Somebody is going to cut you. When it happens, maybe it already has, maybe you're bleeding now and you say, I need this today. This is what I need now. Or maybe you don't need it today, but keep it in your mind because one day you will. Again, if God gives you life. First of all, the first thing I want you to notice about the stronghold of unforgiveness is the result of it. What is the result of unforgiveness? I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. I want to give you just a moment to get there. Matthew chapter 5. There are some verses here that we see because this is a topical series. This is a topical message, so we skip around in the Word of God. When I'm preaching through a book, we tie ourselves down to that particular chapter, and that's what we preach from. We may turn to other passages, but in a topical message, it's different. You turn to different passages in the Word of God. And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. We want to notice the result of unforgiveness. In other words, if somebody's hurt you, you don't forgive them, you refuse to forgive them, and you think God understands, there's a result to that attitude. There's a result, there's a consequence. Matthew 5, look at verse number 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now, what is he teaching? What is he saying here? May I say this to you, in the house of God, my understanding, they would bring their offerings to the altar. They would bring their sacrifice to God. And what the Lord is saying here is, when you bring your sacrifice to me, when you are coming to be right with me, if at the altar you remember somebody has an ought against you, leave your gift at the altar, first go be reconciled, then come back and offer the offering. What's the result he's saying here? In other words, here's the result. You cannot be right with God and wrong with man. You can't do it. Put another way, it means that reconciliation that is possible takes precedence over sacrificing to God. In other words, he's saying this: God is not impressed with an offering if the heart is wrong with another human being. This does not mean that if you've offended somebody with the truth that you go and apologize to them and make that right. But the Lord is speaking of things that need to be set right. And let me say this to you. This is a two-way street. In this verse, he's talking about if somebody has an ought against you. In other words, you have offended somebody. Then if you know that, you need to go to that person and ask them to forgive you. Because until you do that, friends, your offerings mean nothing to God. Nothing. There was a preacher, his child was at the point of death, and he got alone with God. And he said, and I quote, "Lord, my child is dying. Is there anything in my heart or life that would keep from getting a prayer through?" And the Lord impressed him, yes, and laid on his heart a man that he had mistreated down in the state of Texas and spoke unkindly to him. So this man got on the phone late that night, called that man, got him out of bed and said, "Brother, my child's dying and the Lord won't hear my prayer until I ask you to forgive me for what I said to you. I was wrong and I'm sorry. It was my fault." They got it straightened out. The Lord heard that preacher's prayer and raised his child back up again. Now, I'm not saying you need to get right with God so God takes sickness out of your home. I'm not saying that. Because we realize that some sickness is allowed by God Almighty. And listen, if you try to get right with somebody just so your life is a bed of roses, that's not the right motive. But I'll guarantee you this. There's going to come a time in your life when you've got to get a prayer through to God, friends. Amen or not. There comes times in our lives when we realize this is out of man's hands. I have got to be able to pray, and I've got to know that God is hearing my prayer. And I'm saying this, if there is unforgiveness in your heart, He's not listening to you. He will not listen to you. Because I say this to you as well, friends, the Word of God plainly teaches that if your brother comes to you and he repents of his sin, you forgive him. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, and if he comes back, if he sins against you seven times and comes back seven times, says, "Forgive me," then you forgive him every time. So we see that this principle here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, the principle is this: when you try to do something for God, you try to sacrifice to Him, you try to pray to Him, and there's unforgiveness in somebody's heart towards you because you did something wrong to them, or if there's unforgiveness in your heart because somebody did something wrong to you, if you have that unforgiveness in your heart, don't pray. He's not listening. Now that's a strong statement from a preacher, friends. But the Word of God says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The point I'm trying to make is if you hold on to unforgiveness, you cannot be right with God. It makes you out of touch with God. That's the result. If we have wronged someone, God help us to make it right. If it comes to your attention that you have wronged somebody and it's a legitimate wrong, again, I'm not talking about the truth. Boy, they offended me by giving me the gospel. You don't go apologize for that, friends. You understand what I'm saying here. I'm saying you've said an ill word. You gossiped about somebody. It got to them. And good night. I mean, they've turned against you. That doesn't make it right for them. But if you know that you've wronged somebody and you don't go to them and make it right, don't give an offering. Don't pray. Because God is not impressed. That's the result. That's the result. On the flip side, if you've been wronged, you should be quick to forgive because this terrible effect means that it makes me not right with the Lord. One commentator put it this way, till the duty of forgiveness be discharged by ourselves, God will accept of no service or sacrifice at our hands. No matter what they have done to you, you cannot afford to let that rob you of God's blessing on your life. May I say that again? No matter what they have done, you cannot afford to let that rob you of God's blessing on your life. We need for God to accept our sacrifices at the altar. We need for God to hear us when we pray. But neither one of those things will happen if there's unforgiveness embedded in my heart. That's the result. Number two, let me give you the remedy. You say, wait a minute, I thought the remedy's at last, not in this sermon. Let me give you the remedy for unforgiveness. You say, I have it in my heart. What do I do with it? By the way, somebody says, I don't have unforgiveness in my heart. I've forgiven him. Never want to see him again, but I've forgiven him. I'll never talk to him again, but I've forgiven him. Aren't you glad God's forgiveness is not like that, friends? What if God said, oh, I've forgiven you, but don't talk to me ever again? Oh, I've forgiven you, but I never want to see you. See, you know where I'm headed with this message, don't you? The remedy for unforgiveness, what is it? What's the answer for it? One preacher said, our world does not have the right tools to repair this type of sorrow and brokenness. May I say that when you're broken and you're hurt and you're stabbed, spiritually speaking, and somebody's mistreated you, it hurts. And it makes you angry, doesn't it? There's nothing that this world has to offer as the answer to that problem. I'm telling you, secular counselors may encourage a person to keep going, to look beyond the moment, to pull his or her bootstraps up and not give in to the feelings of fear. Okay, sir, how do you do that? You just need to pull up your bootstraps and refuse to look back and just go forward, okay? Tell me how to do that. There's no secular counseling that is the answer for unforgiveness in the heart. Only Jesus Christ can reach down deep into a person's soul and heal the shattered trust that has been so horrendously damaged. Only God can heal and restore what sin has so deeply scarred. Friends, only God has the strength to deliver you from unforgiveness. You cannot do it in the energy of your flesh, but you can in the power of the Holy Spirit. Here are some things to do when you're struggling with forgiveness. When you are struggling with forgiveness, what do you do? Let me give you three things. Number one under this, lift your voice in prayer. When you're struggling, but you don't want it. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's there, it's real, but you don't know what to do about it. You're trying to get it out of your life. You're not making excuses. What do you do? First thing, lift your voice in prayer. The Lord God of heaven can help you. Go to God in prayer. Tell it all to Him. He'll listen to you, and He has the power to help you forgive. Boy, I like what one preacher said here. If you're furious, remorseful, frantic, sorrowful, whatever emotion you have, bring it to God. Come as you are. It's not as if you can hide anything from Him anyway. There's no hair on your head He doesn't know. There's no molecule within the marvel of your... There's no molecule within the marvel of your body that He didn't place there. Share it all with Him, and He'll begin to share certain things with you. Things such as grace and forgiveness. In other words, if you're mad, tell God. Tell Him, God, that makes me mad. You know what I've learned? People get in trouble when they run their mouth to other human beings. Because they want to be heard. And they always go to the ones that they know are on their side. Isn't that interesting? They don't go to the one who can correct it. They go to everybody else. Did you hear what he said about me? And then that person says, hey, did you hear about this? No. Well, I don't want to tell you. Don't let me be the one to tell you. You know what that is? That's demonic. Come back tonight and I'll show you why. You know what that means? Half the crowd won't be back tonight for what I just said. May I say this to you? I have learned that when I'm angry, even if it's not what somebody did to me, I'm just saying angry about something. It rubbed me wrong. You say, the pastor gets that way? Yes, the pastor gets that way. I am a human being. Did I say human or human? Whatever it is. I'm something, okay? You know what I've learned? And this is the point here. Lift your voice in prayer. I have learned that when I'm mad, I'm angry, and I consciously get out somewhere, whether I'm outside, I'm in my truck, and I begin to talk to God and tell Him exactly how I feel, He calms me immediately down. Because you cannot stay mad in the presence of God. Because He holds the card on you. Really, they did that to you. Really. He'll listen to every word. You're mad. You're upset. Okay. Remember what you did to me. What are you going to argue there, friends? Along with this, may I encourage you to do this. Lift your voice in prayer. Pray for the one who's hurt you. I'll never do that. And you'll never be right with God. One preacher said, at first this may be difficult, but the quickest way to disarm the landmine of unforgiveness is through prayer. If you will fight your battles on your knees, God will move heaven and earth on your behalf. May I remind you of something? It is very hard to be unforgiving towards somebody you're praying for. It's very hard to do that. God, I pray for them. Would you show them how they've hurt me? But I don't want to hold any kind of bitterness against them. Anything like, God, I pray for them. Would you help them? How are you going to pray if you're unforgiving towards them? God, let them have it. Well, that prayer's not getting through. I'm saying when you pray, pray for them. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. That's what Jesus said. Pray for them. So lift your voice in prayer. Secondly, leave payback to God. Leave payback to God. Romans 12:17-19, listen to this. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place in the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You know what that means? That means we are to forgive because it's God's will, and then turn the person over to the Lord, having unforgiveness in our hearts and desiring to pay them back. I want them to get what's coming to them. I'll make sure that they get what's coming to them. That you are usurping what belongs to God, friends. God is the judge. And when you try to step out of your realm and say, I will pay them back, what you are saying is, God, I will be judging this. That is an infringement on His territory. And may I say this to you? May I say this to you? God knows what kind of payback they need. And if their payback is coming because it's something that they did, they will get it in God's time, in God's way. But if they get their heart right with God and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, then He puts all of that blame on His precious Son, and He loves them as much as He loves you, friends. Leave payback to God. Third, let God's love reign. Let me show you what I mean here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. This is the great love chapter. Charity, charity, charity. That's love. Listen to these verses. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Listen to this. Thinketh no evil. I want you to think about that word thinketh. Thinketh no evil. Love thinketh no evil. This is agape love. This is God's love. This is supernatural love. And it says God's love thinketh no evil. You know what that word thinketh means? Man, this is powerful. It's the Greek word logizomai. L-O-G-I-Z-O-M-A-I. You know what that word means? It means it doesn't keep a record. That's what it means. It came from the bookkeepers. It means it doesn't take inventory. It doesn't calculate or reckon. It carries the idea of keeping a record. One preacher said this, when it comes to your tax records, your business papers, and your household transactions, record keeping is highly recommended. But when it comes to the transactions we call relationships, we need to throw away the books. Love, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, keeps no books. It posts no scorecard. It makes no list of whom to bite. Love remembers to forget. Can I illustrate it this way? You know what unforgiveness is? Unforgiveness is, I'm going to remember that one. Wait a minute, I've already got 3 or 4 pages on him. I'll never forget what he did to me. God's love doesn't do that. God's love takes the book, throws it away. By the way, only God can help you do that. Can I get an amen right there, friends? I'm telling you, let God's love reign. Don't keep a record. Some people, it's the first thing they think about in the morning, the last thing they think about at night. You may be listening to me right now and think about this 3-point outline here. Lift your voice to God in prayer. Leave payback to God. Let God's love reign. You may be asking yourself, why should I do this? Let me finish this message with point 3, and that is the reasons to forgive. The result of unforgiveness, you cannot be right with God. The remedy for unforgiveness, lift your voice in prayer. I mean, sincerely praying to God. Tell him how you feel. Let him calm you down. Pray for that person. Leave payback to God. Let him be the judge. Let his love reign. Don't keep the records. Throw them away. Finally, the reasons. Let me give you 2 of them. Number 1, because God told us to. Now, friends, that's enough. One person said, we must never forget that we do not have rights when it comes to forgiveness and obedience to God. We forgive because He commands us to do so. This does not mean that what was done to you was okay. It doesn't mean it was okay. God doesn't let the people who harmed you off the hook. You forgive because this is what He desires for you to do. He's told you to do it. Proverbs 24:29, say not, I will do to him so to him as he had done to me. Do you hear that? The Word of God says, don't say, I'm going to do to him what he did to me. Don't do it. The Bible says in Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Matthew 18:21-22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And that doesn't mean you keep the ledger for 490 times, okay, friends? What he's teaching here is there's no limit. It is always God's will for you to forgive. Always. Luke 6:36-37, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. The bottom line is there's absolutely no way to defend forgiveness in God's word. I'm talking about to defend unforgiveness in God's word. He has told us to forgive. That is enough. But if that doesn't convince you, number 2, if you're saved, He's forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32, our text there, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that is an exclamation point, friends. God is saying, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. A wonderful motive to forgive others is because God has forgiven us. One preacher said, and I quote, we must stay focused on the love of God, and we must remember that He does not give us what we deserve. Aren't you glad of that, friends? Each one of us deserves to be punished for our sins, but Jesus Christ was punished in our place. One preacher said it this way: we deserve to have the book thrown at us, but instead it's thrown away for us. That preacher went on to say, to experience His grace and forgiveness is to find that we have plenty of it for others. Did you hear that? To experience His grace means we have plenty of grace and forgiveness to give to others now. I give you this story here. There's a story of two men who were traveling through the jungles in Burma. And one was a visitor and the other one was a resident missionary who stayed there. And along their journey they came to a murky little pond, and the waters came up to their necks as they crossed it. And when the two men emerged on the far side, the visitor was covered with leeches all over his arms, his legs, his torso. And he began frantically to plucking at the parasites, trying to pull them off. But the missionary said, "No, don't do that. Because if you pull one out, suddenly a part of the creature could remain under your skin and the wound could become infected and you'll be in much worse condition." And so this man said, "Okay, then what am I supposed to do?" And you can see him there with all them leeches on him. He said, "We need to get you into a balsam bath as quickly as possible." Because he said, "Soaking yourself in the bath will cause those leeches to pull out their hooks and you'll be free." Preacher who tells this story says, deep resentment is the leech that embeds itself in your heart. You can't pluck at it and discard it simply by making a resolution or reading a book or any other simple action. You know from experience it's going to take more than that. Those feelings have their hooks in you. But there is one thing you can do, and that is bathe in the luxurious grace of God. When you do that, a lot of strongholds begin to loosen within your spirit. And when you contemplate forgiveness He has given you, your merciless grudges begin to fade into nothing. When you feel the wonders of His cleansing grace, you settle down into that bath until the waters rise up and overflow. They begin to soak all of those around you, your antagonists and rivals and enemies. Suddenly the thing you resented doesn't seem worthy of notice all that much more. It simply comes down to this: we forgive because God has forgiven us. And if you haven't accepted God's forgiveness for your sin, if you're lost, if you're not a believer, if you've never experienced the forgiveness of God, you will struggle to forgive others. One preacher said this: the nature of unforgiveness begins with this simple statement: if you're saved. In other words, if you have unforgiveness and you refuse to let go of it, he's saying, here's what you say: I refuse to give to others what God has so freely given to me. I refuse to give to others what He has given me. If we got what we deserved, we would burn in hell for all eternity. And now, as our Heavenly Father, He says, even as I have forgiven you, you forgive others. You forgive others. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 1:7, in whom, talking about Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. In other words, God was in Christ, bringing a guilty, undeserving, a hell-deserving world, that includes you, that includes me. He was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, bringing us to Himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us. In other words, He overlooked our trespasses. He buried them in the depths of the deepest sea. And God says, I remember them no more. Have you made that same commitment to the one that you're mad at today? Now I'm coming to a close here. John R. Rice said, and I quote, after God's abounding mercy toward us, how little, how ungrateful we appear in the sight of God when we are angry and bitter toward a brother who wrongs us. Dr. Clarence Sexton said it this way, boy, this is just pow right in your face. Here it is. The Bible says, I forgave thee, that's enough, forgive others. The Bible says, talking about God, I forgave thee, that's enough, forgive others now. And it is enough. It is enough. When we are tempted not to forgive, we should think of Calvary. Forgiven people should be quick to forgive others. One pastor said this, how many ledgers are you carrying around with you? How many spiritual books are you keeping a record of? He goes on to say, won't you allow Christ to cut them away for good? Throw away the book. Throw it away, friends. Walk free and lighthearted. And you'll live in an atmosphere of grace and joy you never thought possible. Resist your resentment. Banish every trace of bitterness. Live by the liberating grace of God. And remember to forget. I'm calling on you today. Choose to forgive. And as we come to this closing thoughts, I remind you of a Bible story. The lovely Lord Jesus. As he was hanging on a cross, they took him, they beat him, they plucked his hair out of his beard, they spit in his face, they put a crown of thorns on his brow, they ripped his back open with a cat of nine tails, they drove spikes through his hands and through his feet. And as they put him up on that cross, and his bones became out of joint. The New Testament tells us that he looked at those dear people. Do you see the Lord hanging there? By the way, he was hanging there for you. He was doing all that for your sin. He was hanging there bleeding and dying unjustly. In the eyes of man, you understand. He was perfect. They had mistreated him. Nobody in this room, I guarantee, has been treated like the Lord was. And he's hanging there on the cross for me and for you. And he looks down at those ungodly people who took those spikes and drove them through his hands. He looks down at those ungodly people, maybe the ones that just whipped his back and ripped it wide open. And he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. May I say to you, he did not wait for them to say, I made a horrible mistake. I did preach today that if somebody has something against you and you need to go make that right. But you understand, when those words came out of Jesus' mouth, they hadn't made that right with him. And he knew they wouldn't. He could have hung there and said, well, I'll wait till they come to me. But he didn't. He went ahead and said, God, forgive them. Even in his darkest hour, he was willing to release them. And in doing so, he became the perfect reflection of God's unconditional love for each one of us. Will you forgive? Will you forgive? Warren Wiersbe said, the world's worst prison is the prison of an unforgiving heart. And may we say with Charles Haddon Spurgeon, may my heart be as ready to pardon offenses as it is to beat. Will you take the book that has been torturing you, belittling you, driving a wedge between you and God, all because of what they did to you? It was ungodly. It was not right. Will you take the book and will you begin to read it again and make excuses? Or will you see that this book is standing between you and God? And will you today say, God, you're going to have to help me. But my desire is to take the book of unforgiveness, the record that I've been keeping, and it's my desire to throw it away. Forgive. Forgive. That's the will of God. Amen, friends? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. I pray that you will help us to live in victory over the stronghold of unforgiveness. There is a lot of unforgiveness in our world, Lord. But help your children to see that if we do not forgive others, we are guilty of hypocrisy because we have been forgiven by God. Help those who've never experienced the forgiveness of God. May they experience your forgiveness today. Now, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I want to start where God would have me to start, and that is with your personal forgiveness by God. When we're born into this world, we are born at enmity with God. We are born transgressors against God. We are born sinners, and God's wrath abides on us. But if you will trust Jesus Christ, if you will admit your sin to Him and turn to God in belief and ask Him to come into your heart and forgive you, God will forgive you. Have you experienced His forgiveness? Are you saved? Are you born again? If not, when we give the invitation, you come. We'll take a Bible, man with a man, a lady with a lady, and we'll share with you the gospel. But maybe today God is speaking to you as a child of God. You're saved. You know that. But you know this message today of the stronghold of unforgiveness. You know that God is speaking to you. Have me be honest and say, Jody, I'm going to be honest with you. Somebody's done something wrong to me. It was wrong. And I'm aware of it. And I've been struggling with forgiveness. God is speaking to me. I need this message. Have you say, Jody, that's me. I need this message. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. All over the auditorium. God bless you. Thank you. That's many, many hands, several hands. You don't have to come to the altar, but I'm going to invite you to. If you didn't raise your hand today, I hope you understand the message and I hope you remember it. Because again, if God tarries and gives you life, somebody's going to stick you in the back one of these days. Somebody's going to treat you wrong, mistreat you. At that time, we need to remember what God has done for us and choose to forgive. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought and use it, I pray. The stronghold of unforgiveness. Bless those that need to be saved. You're a God ready to pardon and ready to forgive. And help those who need to forgive others to choose today to do it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and would you come as he sings? Come
out, have thine own way, Lord.
Choose to forgive.
Have thine own way.
Choose to forgive. Softly, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I hope some of you, if you've wronged somebody yourself, I hope you get the message that you need to go make that right. And if somebody's wronged you, you need to forgive. Maybe you're here today and you've trusted Christ, but you've never made that public. You've never let somebody know publicly. I want to invite you to come. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. I'll ask Brother Gary to sing one more verse. If nobody else comes, this will be it. As he sings, if God is speaking to you, there's time for you. Come now, please.
Have thine own way.
way. This is, which one is Joseph? Joseph? Joseph Green. Is it Terrence? Is that correct? Is that Terrence? How do you say your last name? Lucy. This is Terrence Lucy, Joseph Green, and Timothy Mendenhall. They've been in our children's church over here, and all three of them are coming today, and they are accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Is that true? We're so happy for you, so thrilled you're here. I know there's a lot of people in here, but you're among friends. And we're glad that you came today. Did all of you ride a bus? Yes, all of them rode a bus today. Isn't that great? We're happy for them. If you're happy for them, trust in Christ. Would you say amen? Amen. We're thrilled for you. Amen. Andy, I'm going to have you take them on out. That way they don't get locked up here. Not locked up. That's the wrong word I'm using. Held up, I guess, is the right word. The preacher did it again. He said something he shouldn't have there, you know. Appreciate you being here. Come back tonight. We go back to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And I encourage you to come back for that. That would be good. Thank you for being here today. I'm going to ask Brother Eugene Radford, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.